Hello once again, and welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
And I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
We're mediums, healers, and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. On today's show, we'll be discussing the Book of Life. And if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open. The number to call is 877-876-5227. And that's a worldwide free phone number. It's 877-876-5227.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery, then, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 9 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching. And you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 8 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our merchandise, books and CDs, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And without further ado, I'll hand you back to Sylvie and prepare to go into trance. This is all I do, basically. I just have a short little bit, which is mine, and then I'm off to sleep. So you all have a great show, and enjoy yourselves. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mick. Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who consists of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They are an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. This means there is no room for errors because interpretation just doesn't come into it. And as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And once again, if you have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic, and remember it's not a reading, but to join in with the conversation this evening, the number to call is a free phone number, and it's 877-876-5227. And please do speak up if you do. It's 877-876-5227. Hello, Gregory.
Greetings, Fane.
Hi.
How wonderful to be here in your kind vibration, little bird. And thank you to all of those who may contribute with their energy, their love, and their giving to any situation involving those of us on our side of life. We cherish every moment we are able to bring about communication in whatever way that is carried out between our side of life and yours.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. So this week we're going to be talking about the Book of Life, otherwise known as?
The Akashic Records.
So, what are they?
Or Akashic,
or
as some people
say.
What are they? Well, yes, of course, it is a book of your life. How can it be possible, perhaps, that people even have pages in a book written by whom? Well, these are really some of the questions we are wishing to explain. The Book of Life began at its inception of your spirit physical journey. That is, the time when your spirit self made contact with the physical embryo, the cell coupling which happened at the time of your conception. This, of course, was a very tentative joining at first, and the spirit was actually still free to be in the spirit world. But gradually, the more and more that the cells mutated and grew, and the child grew within the womb, then the stronger the link via the etheric bead became with the physical state. And so it is that the journey begins. Life, in its many forms, is brought into sharp focus with the Akashic Book. And how this is done is because every moment you think a thought, every action you take in physical life and in mental memory, all thoughts and responses to do with your judgment and whatever it is that you bring to physical state, or your metaphysical state, perhaps in your thinking of philosophy or whatever it is, all of that information, including the images you see and sounds and smells and senses, are all brought upon the Akashic Book. How this actually happens is through your thought memory transfer. The cellular structure that you are, the human being that you are, is just a fraction of what you are as a being itself, because of course you have your spirit self. You also have this situation whereby you are thinking and acting out scenarios. Your thoughts are registered upon your spirit. Even though, no matter whether you are aware of your spirit or not, this is something which just happens mechanically. It is a part of the inference of life between you as a physical being and you as a spirit. So all of your thoughts, actions and deeds, all of the images you see, sounds you hear, and any retention brought to your mind is and becomes a part of your spirit the moment it is brought about in physical reality. So as it is a part of your spirit, it is therefore transferred, if you like, a little like an email that you have in your modern day, except that there are no wires attached. Nothing is purposely sent by a sender. It is just that becomes an automatic transfer rate of anything that comes about in your physical life, which is why, in fact, you cannot actually, as it were, take it upon yourself to try to subvert any information of what actually happens in your physical life via the spirit transfer of memory, because it is actual.
Mm. Yes, even everything that you think. So even if you say something that is actually not true, because you're thinking something opposite, it's that both of those are going to go down on your Akashic Book record.
Oh, absolutely so, yes. And all of the thoughts and feelings you had in trying to hide it as well. And the point is, I suppose, that many people actually do not realize the whole truthful extent of what information and how information is transferred to the Akashic Book. Perhaps for many, they may think, well, I can actually try to think my way through that objectionable behavior that I created in physical life and perhaps atone for it by finding some form of judgment that allows me to keep it as a profitable and a right thing to do in the circumstances, if you follow me.
Yes, like you make it fit, you make it right.
Yes, quite so, to feel better about yourself and your own judgment of what you have done.
Why you did it.
Yes, quite. Well, of course, obviously, by now, you may understand that those situations are just not going to wash, because the Akashic Book, by the way, is printed in indelible ink. It cannot be erased once it is drawn. Now, to get to the book itself, that is a little about the mechanics of the situation. To get to the book itself, one page of life represents a day, no matter how busy that day has been. So you can imagine your book of life is pretty extensive. It is, in fact, enormous. It isn't something that you have to carry around with you. It is in the library of humanity. For others, at some stage, if they wish, to observe.
who can observe it?
Well, it depends. They actually have to gain entry, and usually the entry is through their vibration, because they have been able to ascend the lower forms of vibration of negativity, the ugly forms of vibration such as violence or that kind of thing.
So one would have to have risen their vibration to a certain extent in order to be able to look at anybody's Akashic record or their own?
Well, no, anybody's Akashic record,
okay.
Anybody else's, that is. You actually have to gain permission from that person. But there has to be a good cause for you to do so.
Right.
If it is to do with your own, of course, you are actually brought to the Akashic record. For some, this may not happen directly as soon as they have passed over. It may be many years before they actually come round to facing their Akashic record.
Well, yeah, I can imagine that.
Yes, quite so, because it is simply, actually, because there may be many things that they have to overcome first. Perhaps difficulties they brought about in their physical life, or perhaps other difficulties that they manufactured in their thoughts. It may well be that to gain understanding, that they ask for help, perhaps, of some other guides or some other beings in the spirit world, in their soul group, for example. Mm-hmm. And the Akashic Book, by the way, is held in your soul group. It isn't specifically for everyone in the spirit world to look upon an ogle, you understand. And so it will be that possibly if you are having problems in some way in the spirit world, and I do understand that many people also have difficulty with this, the fact that spirit in the spirit world actually have problems, perhaps thinking that everything is brought to naught and that all of those discrepancies are fine and brushed over and dealt with and that life just goes on. Well, it doesn't. It actually is a situation of returning to the memories of what you have been as a physical being and what you have created as a physical being. Some people may have difficulties within certain areas of what it is they are thinking about or how it is that they are to take another step along their journey of life. They may then need to consult with the Akashic Book to see how they overcome this, to see what really transpired in their day, in that particular day, and how they can overcome it. And they will be taught how to use the Akashic Book.
So, by whom? Who do they go to?
Well, there are those who actually keep the Akashic Books. These are those of records who actually in physical life had a propensity to an intent to actually want to do that kind of thing. So they are people actually who are interested in ways of documentation and ways of keeping honorary works to do with human beings.
Okay.
They may be human or they may not.
What might they be if they're not human?
Well, other species also, of course, have a hand in the keeping of Akashic records. This isn't something which is purely human. It is also something which belongs to many other species throughout the galaxies and the universe.
Okay. Would so we call them aliens.
Yes.
The other species keep an eye on their specific records, or could they keep an eye on ours as well, like
humans?
Well,
it very much depends, you see, on their spiritual gift and if they have an ability to be able to understand and help to keep the Akashic record file as it should be. Now, do not forget that the Akashic Book itself is alive.
Okay.
This actually is to do with the way in which it responds to the viewer. Now, so if a person, shall we say, comes from the physical side of life, has done some things, whatever they may be, perhaps not that obvious and not that difficult, but for some reason they are having some difficulty overcoming the duty of care aspect, or perhaps some aspect of their duty of care of their life, or something like that. Some little problem that they really could not accommodate in their life. Therefore, they will go to the Akashic Book and look up that particular day or year or time of their life.
What, to sort of see where they went wrong and see what
yes.
they could have done differently and that sort
yes,
of thing.
Absolutely so. It is supposed to be a therapeutic help for people to do this.
Mm.
It isn't something which is, as it were, the big stick of God or whatever.
No.
It is something that is very gentle and happy and very obvious, really, to bringing the vibration of love to the surface.
It could be very embarrassing as well.
Oh, absolutely,
because,
of course,
you know,
yes.
With the best will in the world, we all make some terrible mistakes, especially, you know, in our younger years or whatever.
Yes, quite so. Yes, that can be quite embarrassing to the life, to the thought processes.
Yes.
Yes, quite. So what you would do then is that you would actually come in, and as soon as you come into the Hall of Learning where the Akashic Book is actually kept, it is in a section of the Hall of Learning, you see.
That was going to be my next question, right? Good.
Yes. I'm so pleased we got that one. You see, it is just that basically you would walk in through the door, and it isn't that you wear a name tag or anything like that, but that your vibration index is something which sets off a trigger alerting the keeper of the records, whoever that may be, to find your file.
Wow. You haven't even got to say your name.
You do not have to say your name at all. You do not have to say a word.
Wow.
You just walk in or glide in or swan in, however you feel at that time.
Hmm.
And you move to the amphlet. It is a place where the book is brought for you to read and to exhibit. You do not have to turn the pages. As you turn the pages, as you look at the book with your mind, therefore, you think of a time or a date in your life, a time when you are facing this experience you could not actually relate to, and the book automatically flips open to that page without you touching it. Then the whole scenario of your day's event will become illuminated like a holographic image.
So there are pictures as well as
there
writing.
There is the whole portrayal of the event in question.
So you would see, literally, you'd be like watching a movie, something on the TV?
Yes, quite so, yes. The television, yes. It is just the same as you trying to remember a situation in your mind that may be difficult and cloudy at times, but when viewing the Akashic Book record of incidents in your life, they are actually fully focused and perfectly enhanced, just the same way as the image you had seen and the intonations, voices, and activity you had created and took part in your physical life, as though you were there, because they are direct images from your mind, from your intellect transferred by the spirit to the Akashic Book at the time of the event.
Gosh. I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and this week's show is The Book of Life, the Akashic Records, in other words. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227.
Actually, we call all of the words and all of the information in the Akashic Book paleontelics.
Paleontelics?
Yes. That is the description of a day or an object of life, which actually has a holographic journey within it.
Hmm.
And it is actually set in real time so that you are able to bring about and actually bring about information and dissect the whole journey that you have taken.
Can you interact with it again, or is it just like a replay? Do you know what I mean? Can you jump into
you
the picture and actually change it? You can't change it.
You cannot erase anything. It is indelible.
Mm. But do you know what I mean? So you can, so you can't interact with it in any way. You can only observe it.
You can interact with it in that you can run backward or forward. You can skip some bits if that is what you wish to do. You can bring up more intensity.
So like as if you had a remote control?
Yes, quite so. Yes, but you just do this with your mind.
Mm.
Now, obviously, to do this with your mind, for some, may be quite difficult because people in the spirit world actually have to be taught how to use the mind once in the spirit world. It isn't something which just comes naturally. It isn't as it would have been perhaps from you walking from one room to another. It is actually that you have to relearn certain faculties of life and the mind within it, because you need to alter and treat the mind differently when in the spirit world. To give you an example, the things that you see in the physical reality to do with space, time, and events, so to do with your spatial awareness, shall we say, in how you organize your life and how you perceive distance and time, is only relative to physical state reality. It isn't something which is obvious in the spirit world, because you do not have to overcome distance and time, because they are not an object of they are not a hurdle that you have to overcome in that way. You see, you have to overcome them in the physical state reality in order for you to be from one place to another place, from point A to point B. Otherwise, you would not, and you would just stand still.
Hmm. Okay, so what if, is there anybody there to teach you how to do it?
Oh yes, absolutely, of course. That is what the halls of learning are all about.
Right.
And for some people, they may actually skirt around the halls of learning and try not to be involved in it at all. But more's the pity that many do this. They actually do not regard it as a place of learning at all, but see it as some way of taking away their own thoughts or taking away their own religious understanding, perhaps, because some people, of course, do not want to progress
from
the journey that they had.
Well, some don't want to do that here either.
So. Well, yes, I understand that. You see, the problem is, just the same as you may find when communicating with people from our side of life, perhaps those who have expressed difficulty or whatever, you would encounter difficulties in their memory retention, or in fact that you would have to work through ways in which to inspire the emotional triggers and the triggers of imagery to do with the life that they have led, how that they are able to recall certain aspects of their life, and yet miraculously others just disappear, just as though they cannot access them again. Well, it is only because they are not taught, do not know how to access the mind trigger mechanism back as being a spirit being. And that is really a part of the accumulation of education that is continually brought to bear in the halls of learning in the spirit world. As I say, these halls of learning are actually a part of your individual soul group. It isn't something which is specifically in one place.
Okay. Are there different halls of learning in each soul group, or is it...
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, quite so. It doesn't mean to say that one is any better than the other. I can just see it now that many human beings would say, I don't want to be in this soul group anymore. They're having much more fun over there. I'm going to join them over there.
Yes.
Well, they would, wouldn't they?
Yes, they would.
Will we have a caller on the phone?
Okay.
I'll put him through. Happy to have you with us again, Gregory.
Thank you, friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am so looking forward to speaking with you properly once again.
Next week.
I am very much looking forward to that. Thank you. I'll put the guest on.
Thank you.
Hello, Gregory and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hello, friend.
How are you doing?
All right, thanks.
Never better, thank you. And yourself?
I am fine, thank you.
Very good.
But I have a question to ask for a friend who's very shy, but he would like to know if there will be any significance in the Acacia book and what it means, because tomorrow is 888.
Yes, 888. A bit like 666, but in reverse. I wonder what it is that people find so overwhelming about specific dates and numbers. I agree that for some numbers, they are absolutely significant. After all, certain numbers are significant to the whole of the universal paradigm and how it works. However, the figure of 888 is perhaps another one to do with those dates and times that people pick out, like 2012 or whatever, the time when supreme forces are supposed to land and sweep everyone away, or actually turn the tide of well-being in the favor of positivity. The point is that for many well-meaning folk, they may well focus upon such a date and time, and that is all very well. And I take nothing away. I'm just saying that that is a point of focus. It is also a point of focus to actually focus on the previous day or on the next day after that. It is also a point of focus to say, well, I am going to be more positive today just because it is 888. Very well. Be more positive then. Have a nice day.
You will have a better day.
Have a good day. Be positively focused and you will bring about a positively focused day. There you are. There you have it. In a nutshell, in a clasp of reality, you have the perfect way to celebrate any day. Any day of the week, any day of your life, you can be focused at the end of one day and say, tomorrow is the 6th of November or whatever, or tomorrow is the 8th of July. It is a magical day. It's going to be a magical day in my calendar because I feel it is, because I feel I'm going to experience new energy, not necessarily new energy coming from the spirit world. Spirit world energy is all the same. It is in perfect flux and harmony. It is human beings who are out of flux and harmony. Therefore, when human beings ascend to bringing about some fictitious date and saying, this is the concentration of my energy, I'm going to have a good day this day, what a shame that they do not realize that every day could be like that.
And it will propel a good day, though, won't it?
Of course, yes, because so many people are feeling positive. What I'm saying is, why not make that every day?
Mm-hmm.
Why should it be that some special energy going to help them solve certain problems is going to come about this specific day, perhaps because of planetary alignment or the auspices of some kind of conjuncture with certain planets? Perhaps there are specific energies which are intoned and droned in to harmonize with some ulterior motive of the mind or emotion of consequence in human frailty. I have to say that I do not poke fun at this, but human beings must grasp onto reality and understand their emotional intent upon the next day is what is important any day the week.
Yes, we do search for anything that is going to be something that's going to uplift us.
That brings you relief as well.
But we must actually realize that we can do that ourselves.
Absolutely, every single day of the week.
To make it happen.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Thanks, John.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so.
Bye.
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 Yes.
Okay. Right, so basically I was going to say, who decides whether you are of the right vibration to be able to see your Akashic records?
Nobody else decides it. You alone can allow this to happen through your vibration. Your vibration is the key.
Okay.
Therefore, it is as though you have a credit card without the the credit card, if you like. You just have the magnetic strip. The magnetic strip is your vibration.
So how low...
That allows you entry.
Okay. There must be a bar set there. There must be a marker for which you would be too low for you to be able to do that, presumably...
Of course.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to say that your vibration doesn't
work,
aren't you?
Absolutely so.
But you know
you
what
see,
I mean.
We are coming full circle again.
Immortal,
what a lovely
Gregory.
Roundabout this is, friend.
You know what I'm saying.
I do, I understand.
Okay.
I'm just staying with you, friend.
Okay.
It's such a delight. You see, yes, it is to do with the vibration of live love intent and of your positivity, of your well-being and goodwill to others. That is something which increases the vibration. Love, after all, is the energy supreme of the universe. It is that thing, that energy, which binds us all, which brings us all into perfect flux and union with the seat of all one, of all goodness, that self is.
You see, I was just thinking then, I was thinking that you might be somebody of a low vibration that's done great harm and want to turn the tables and make your life right and really come clean and make something of yourself. Okay.
Yes.
Well, in that thought, I guess you would have raised your vibration anyway.
Just by really wanting to do it.
Genuinely wanting to do it.
Yes, exactly. And this is actually how people in a lower vibration are able to climb the dizzying steps of ascensionism, if you like. Mm. If there was such a thing, not in the way that human beings see it, but actually in the way that it is in the spirit world. That is, the way in which people may overcome aspects of their physical journey they brought about and actually be able to bring about a positive platform for them to step beyond the vibration they were at the time they brought that ill consequence about.
Which is how they can't get away with things, because they couldn't say that they want to do this, because unless they were being honest, their vibration wouldn't be of the right elevation to be able to do that.
Well, yes, quite so. And if they were not being honest about it, do not forget that a lie is red.
Okay, and a lie is red.
And a lie is red and will be seen. And therefore, as soon as a lie is spoken or thought in the spirit... And do not forget, this isn't the spirit itself's fault. This is at fault with the physical species inclination, which you have brought as thoughts and feelings, as your physical journey to that spirit. So it isn't actually the spirit's fault. It is your interaction as a physical being and as a mental image being upon it.
So... It doesn't come into it then. I did write down here in my notes what happens if you don't agree with what you see in the Akashic book. But
well, there isn't a case for whether you agree or not.
Right.
It is exactly as it is. So your Akashic book will be a reflection of the exact passage of your life. It isn't up for interpretation. Although, sadly, I understand that many people try to interpret the Akashic book in the way of perhaps bringing some form of fundamentalism to the area of conversation, or to bringing some form of detachment from the Akashic book or the facets of life that have been brought about by your actions and physical events.
Okay. So could you look at the Akashic records of, like, say, the people that flew the airplanes into the Twin Towers and that sort of thing?
Someone who has possible access will be someone who, like myself perhaps, and I have seen one or two of those records myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I am well aware of the influences brought upon them.
Mm. Right.
And the journey that they made.
Right.
I cannot speak for all of them,
no.
But I know that of two of the beings
right.
who took part in it. Mm-hmm. And the journey that they made mm-hmm. and how they actually still yet have yet to fully see or identify anything to do with their Akashic account.
Mm-hmm.
Really, because their vibration still, they are still in, as it were, a state of shock, really.
But it's a good lesson. It would be a good lesson on humanity, as it were, as such, to read something like that.
Yes, absolutely.
To work it out for themselves and see how it all came about.
Yes, it is
a
good
person's life.
Most certainly so, Fen. It is a very good way to understand situations of human behavior and how they are really brought about. What drives a human being to kill so many? Or what drives a human being to take specific positive physical action as they saw it because of an indoctrinated principle of theocracy that they lived by?
Mm.
And this, do not forget, is the same for many people. We are not just talking of one specific religion here or one specific claim to their own lifeblood, their own way of life. It isn't to say, of course, that all beings of that religion are tarnished with the same thing, although they may feel that way. It may leave a great deal of innocent fear in the minds and in the hearts of many of those millions of good people who actually cite that religion as their lifeblood. Yet, at the same time, they may see that their link with that aspect of their faith is perhaps a pathway that they have taken, whereas others have a different ideal. It is just the same as taking one passage or book of out of the Bible and saying that that is your whole soul book and that all the rest of it is irrelevant. It is just like as though you were saying that certain passages of anyone's life story are there to be drooled over by some, and yet by others they are donned as being freaks or heretics. That is a matter of judgment and of thought. That is a matter of the complicated situation that human beings bring themselves into in relationships they form with one another, in trying, perhaps, to get along or in admitting that there are differences which exist. You cannot, of course, equate such positive situations of energy to do with some theocratic references, and yet others are really just left there for interpretation that you could say, well, I suppose the interpretation that some people put on it is going to be negative, is going to be despotic, is going to be just driven by one specific thing, one field of view that they hold and are stuck to in their life, you see.
Mm.
And that really is the case of those beings. Mm. So you can see then. Now, what about then the difficulty that a being such as that may have in finding their Akashic book, in actually even being walked to the halls of learning to understand anything beyond them? How, surely they should be banished forever from such a place. It is not true. For every being, there has to be a moment when, no matter what they have done in physical state, they will have to face their own demons. They will have to face the carnage of life they unleashed, for example. And that will be something of which is perhaps depicted in their own fear of themselves, which is why some people in the spirit world, in particular, have a great fear of who they are, of who they have become. Part of the dealings that we have in dealing with attachments and that kind of thing. It's actually to do with the fear vibration of someone's intent personality. So they have become that negative that they would not actually want to see themselves, would not actually want to be in their own vibration, yet alone anyone else's.
So I guess getting somebody that wants to actually go to the Akashic Book to see for themselves is actually a big step forward, really.
Absolutely.
On the road to recovery.
Yes, quite so. Little steps, of course.
Well, because it's going to be painful. They're not going to like what they see, are they?
People very often shriek in horror and run out screaming from the halls of learning where the Akashic Book is kept.
I can imagine, yes.
Not, of course, that is something that anyone else takes notice of necessarily, because they would not necessarily see them. Because if they are perhaps of a vibration which is generally lower, being created by some great negativity they have created in physical life, they won't actually be seen by the majority of those in the spirit world in any event.
Oh, right. Okay.
You see, because those people will not actually be aware of anyone who is above them or who is at a different vibration to themselves. So they actually have quite a lowly life.
But not even when they go to the halls of learning to look at the Akashic Book?
A being will be kept in isolation. Whatever vibration, it does not mean to say that just because you, little bird, comes to the halls of learning, does not mean to say that you will see or observe every soul there.
No.
You may see books that just seem to walk along the aisles themselves, that drift aimlessly from one aisle to another, being read and having the pages turned, as if by unseen hands. That is because there is another spirit who is reading it, who actually may not want to be seen or who is a different vibration to you and that you may not actually observe them.
Oh, I see.
Do you see?
I do.
And it is not to say that they are higher necessarily.
No.
They may well be lower vibration. And because their vibration is different, they will be isolated within that vibration. Yes, I understand. They can also extend their vibration out toward you if they need help. If they are of a lower vibration, for example, you do not have to respond to them. It is your wish, and of course a part of your duty of care, as to whether you do or not. The exchanges that take place in the halls of learning are great and many-fold because of the extent to which vibration ranges are enhanced by one another's activity. Therefore, you may feel a great empathy with someone who is in a particular problem and may actually be able to help them and mentor them in some way, even though you cannot physically see them, as it were, even in the spirit world, because their vibration is different.
Okay, so you say that you can see Akashic records because your vibration is sufficiently an appropriate level, shall we
thank
say.
Thank you very much. I was trying to... yes, thank you.
Okay. One of the good guys. Okay.
I do my best, Fenn.
Yes. So, could you see a Shining One Akashic record?
That would not be possible.
No. Okay, so...
The Shining One White Cloud may wish me to observe a page, perhaps, in his life. In which case, I would be more than honored to do so, but would have to do so from a distance.
Okay. So then we're coming to the crux here. Then, so you can only you can look at them, but you can only look to a certain vibration?
Yes, quite
okay.
So.
Right.
There will be certain aspects, perhaps higher spirituality of a certain vibration of someone, even of myself. Perhaps there are elements of spirituality or gifts or some absent sense that I have not remembered or brought about yet, identified in my life, and yet which will become obvious in years or in light years' time, that are already written in the Akashic Book. And it may be that I am not a party to them, cannot view them as yet, because they are vibrations of an intensity I am just simply unable to view. The same as many others, even shining ones, may have aspects of their lives which they cannot view, because those are in the understanding of God.
Okay, so are you saying that the future is in there as well then?
I am saying that there are some possible futures which may be gleaned, which may be brought about by others who study them. Mm-hmm. It may be that one's spiritual future is something of an ordinance, is something of reality. That is because future development of one's spiritual identity is not as at a fixed pace, mm-hmm. but that it is almost certain that eventually you will be at one with God. Mm-hmm. That eventually you will be in the divine bliss of all things. You will eventually once again return to the purity sea mm-hmm. as a part of is. So, therefore, that aspect of your oratory is already spoken, is already brought about.
Okay. Because it's the possibles.
Yes, there are many ways of obtaining that pathway that are completely different to anyone else and the way that they attain theirs. It is peculiar to your life which pathway you take, which is why I suppose that so many people fall over themselves trying to stand on one another's shoulders of whatever pathway they have taken and say, oh, well, yes, they have made this, brought about this aspect of spirituality in their life. I will follow them and do so dutifully. I will be an acolyte to every step they take. And yet, funnily enough, years down the road, and they wonder what happened. Why didn't I gain that same spirituality? Why am I not in the same doorway of opportune moments or the same window of life? You see,
mm-hmm.
because everyone is different.
Okay. Right, well, I'm Sylvie Avery, and you're listening to Gregory Hay, who's being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery, and this week's show is The Book of Life. If you have a question, you can speak to Gregory and ask us a question. It's a free phone number. It's 877-876-5227. So, in that case, if there's the future possibilities there, is it also from before we were born into the physical? You said it started on the conception.
Yes, we are talking here about you as a physical being.
As a human being, yes.
Yes, so, quite so.
But is there anything in there that we can view from before we had a human life?
Absolutely, yes, but only when the time is right. Only when your vibration succeeds to an optimum amount. So when you have looked through certain aspects of your book of life and you have understood perhaps particular journeys you have taken, wrong moves you have made or whatever, and you then retire from the halls of learning and go about your business, perhaps in bringing repatriation of those journeys. Perhaps you seek out those beings you have offended in your life. Perhaps it is that you seek out some other aspect of connotation of that life, you see.
We have a same caller on, wants to ask another question.
Okay.
I'll swing him through.
Hello, Gregory and Sylvie. This is John again.
Hiya.
Hello, friend.
Hi. I would just like to ask, maybe there's a good answer to the question. But,
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, the way our chakras open and close and the way that works, how is that reflected in the Acacia book?
An interesting point. If it is to do with a situation in a particular day, for example, it may be that there's a representation in the Akashic Book of when you were meditating or something like that, then it would be something which is depicted by a bright light issuing from the page at that moment that one or others of these particular energy centers become activated. It will also, of course, be to do with the vibration index of your physical state and how your spirituality revolves around that physical state, how being in that vibration actually accentuates your energy of life and your ability to cope with greater reasoning and positive thought. Therefore, of course, it will be depicted as you actually obviously ascending that energy. You would be smiling in the way it is depicted in the holographic image, which is in real time, of course. So you may observe actually what happened to you from the outside looking in, and also from what happened to you from the inside looking out. You will actually be able to relive that moment of ecstasy or joy, that moment of intensified vibration at the point and time in which you actually came into opening that particular doorway of your life and energy center. It may well be that this is something that you want to reflect upon in order to gain more understanding and further understanding of how you may spiritually grow in your life now in the spirit world. And that really is the point of it. So it will actually appear as a glowing light from the page. Not actually flat on the page, you understand, but because of the fact that the page that you look upon becomes a 3D image, which is at first seems to appear to be just words and writing upon the page, and then the words form themselves into the structures of thought and the activity you had gained when you were in physical life. As if by magic, it all plays out. It isn't magic, really. There is a specific mechanic to do with it. And it is, which is actually linked to the specific transfer of data from your physical state, from your cellular memory, via the spirit to the Akashic Book itself. I hope that helps.
Yes, may I ask another question?
Yes, go on, John.
Gregory, could I ask how your mother's doing? How's your mom?
Oh, she's very well. I haven't seen her of late, I have to admit. She spends a lot of time with her ancestors, who were actually French-Italians. She came from a part of Lower France, very close to the Alps, is where she was born. I do not actually remember the name of the town. I cannot be that specific at this time. But I understand that she actually continues to spend a lot of time there. My father, on the other hand, is somewhere else completely.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, John. Thanks.
Bye.
Bless. Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay, so basically, once you've done your recompense, you will... you will be able to access maybe what you did before you had a human life.
Yes, quite so.
So you've dealt with the human life, and that's all sewn up, and everything's nice and rosy. And so now you will be able to. You've earned it.
Yes, that is the point, really, that you have had to overcome these hurdles you created in physical life, and once you are able to do that and move on from it, not, as it were, move on from it as though it never happened, but actually be the better for understanding the reasons of your intent and why you created it in the first place.
Mm.
That is how you can truly move on.
Mm. Do animals have an Akashic Book?
Not as complicated, although some do. It is really down to a situation of the intention of the animal itself. You, after all, are an animal too, just the same as me. But in fact, we rely upon aspects of language and communication skills to drive us along. And that aspect is something which continues in the spirit world. So saying it is that there are many other beings, whales and dolphins, of course, swans and many of the other creatures that we have already mentioned as having a greater spiritual value, sometimes in excess of spiritual value, than human beings.
Mm.
And these beings, too, will have a certain situation, an Akashic account of their life and their journey. Now, perhaps that may be to you seem a little dull. After all, the whale is nothing but a large swimming organism in the sea, doing nothing but eat. And some say that they do not even sleep. Actually, they do. They sleep moving. Whilst they are moving, just like a horse sleeps standing up. Or an elephant sometimes sleeps standing up. Actually, many animals sleep standing up. It's only really human beings and other primates who tend to have to lie down to sleep. Oh, and of course, rodents as well. You will not see a beetle asleep. A beetle is either alive or it isn't. Is either moving and walking or it isn't. Beetles very rarely sleep, although they do sometimes have occasions of hibernation, but that is due to environmental pressure and not due to actual physical need.
Okay. And beetles haven't got an Akashic record.
They do not.
Okay.
Because actually they do not think in that way.
No.
Nor do ants. Ants think in a different paradigm to human beings, as do many insects, in fact.
Okay.
They don't require an Akashic book.
All right. Is there such a thing as an Akashic record for nations in general?
There is not.
A group thing, no.
That really is an element of history. I would have to say, though, however, that in the halls of learning there are books concerning national emergencies.
Right.
And I do not mean an emergency, I mean an emergence of a peculiarity.
Yeah.
A way in which a nation or a tribe of people actually become more of themselves, make more of themselves.
Mm.
So that is something which is not written by biased historians, perhaps, but is actually painted in a very black and white way. This is actually what truthfully happened in this event, with no holds barred. These also may be books which will contain great holographic images of the situations which happened and occurred. Holographic imagery is something which is rife in the spirit world. We use it a great deal to portray circumstances of deliverance that happened in physical life and also some situations of retrieval that happened in the spirit world. To paint an example, and I know this is detracting from the Akashic book, but I think it is worthwhile mentioning that the way that the halls of learning works is that the library is so intensive and extensive that you can actually bring historical books to life. You can actually take down a book in the halls of learning and view a battle scene or view a particular scenario which played out and turned a cornerstone of history and actually made one tribe or other overcome certain obstacles or brought about barriers to that tribe's well-being. So it will actually be, for example, that Native Americans or perhaps Aborigines or Maoris or whoever it is that wish to locate certain aspects of their tribal heritage and that kind of thing, that they can actually research those mournful losses or that they can actually view them in complete pictorial holographic history.
Well, that's really handy, isn't it?
Most so.
I mean,
Yes.
Really, really handy.
If you could imagine it, looking over, opening up a history book and observing some galleons fighting up on the sea.
Oh, yes.
Or some such thing as that.
Hmm.
Of course, you do have to be of a specific vibration of intensity to be able to bring this about.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it is to do with the molecular structure of mind and retention of how that structure is unified in the spirit world from the once held physical life.
And your intent.
And your intent, quite mm-hmm. so.
So literally that you can just carry on learning forever, it's endless.
Absolutely so, yes.
It
is why I do not understand this fixation that people have of people having to continually come back to the physical state in order to regurgitate life and learn more.
Well, I think...
You don't need it.
You know, if people knew that all of this, then they, you know, maybe would maybe rethink that, possibly. But the alien situation, which is really fascinating to us here...
Yes.
Obviously... That would be quite interesting to look at an alien life.
Absolutely,
so
of course.
So we would be, if we were of the right intent and vibration, be allowed to look at an alien's Akashic Book records?
Well, possibly so, but more so, I would say, to do with the history of that particular race
would be something
that you would be invited to look at first if you had that particular interest.
Right, just been talking about.
Oh, yes, quite so. So that you would bring about, first of all, the histrionics of a certain specific race or tribe, be as it may, wherever they came from in the galaxy or whatever life situation they led at the time.
Mm.
And actually showing exactly how they transferred their intent from one situation to another. It actually gives you a much better portrayal of what to expect when you finally meet one from that particular race or whatever. So it is usually best that we do encourage people to do that first rather than just dive in and shake the antlers of some being from some far-off planet or whatever. You do not obviously as well know the right description, the right language to use, or the right forewarned words or entreatments. Perhaps there were specific traditional values that tribe of species actually hold within themselves that you would have to be familiar with, first of all, before you entertain such a meeting and liaison, you see.
Yes, well, presumably our fixation with them will be slightly different once we're there because we will be able to meet with them.
Well, yes, quite so.
Under different circumstances.
Absolutely,
And because we'd be able to communicate because language isn't a barrier.
That is very true. Language is not a barrier, but to some beings, they may still hold on to their traditional beliefs and values, in which case you do have to be careful. After all, you do not want to tread on the foot of a quok and feel that they will still entertain you.
A what?
A quok.
Excuse me? Quok.
Yes.
Okay.
A quok is actually from a far distant galaxy who actually happens to have large flipper-like feet.
Right.
And part of their traditional greeting is that they would actually lead with a specific foot to flap upon yours. And when they do that, you are supposed to reciprocate in kind by certain gestures. You do not want to offend a quok if you bring about the wrong gesture. They may take honorary disagreement to what you are proposing.
Yes, you might be saying totally the wrong thing. How do you spell that?
I have no idea,
okay.
Fred.
It's quok.
No, it's aquak.
Aquak.
Aquak. That is how it is pronounced.
Yes, okay.
I'm sorry, not pronounced. That is how it is written. So it is A-Q-U-A-A-K-Q.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But it is actually pronounced quok.
Mm. Yes, so I can see that, well, even pronouncing the name you could get wrong to start with.
Well, yes, quite so.
Yeah.
And my apologies to all of those I may have offended in that little discourse.
So in that case, could we learn about a planet before we actually go on a journey there. If you wanted to have a life somewhere else, well, could we have done that here then?
Well, yes, of course. Absolutely. The point is that spirit, your spirit, is not fixed parametrically to any one particular place. It is not anchored to the earth. You are not an earthbound spirit. You are, when you come to the spirit world, not going to remain an earthbound spirit. That is something which only happens in certain circumstances of deliverance for that individual. It is only something which comes about through the inability to accept love vibration as being the way, the energy of grace.
So presumably we could have actually looked up and studied all about our life on Earth before we came, and then when we got here, we didn't remember a thing.
Well, the point is, yes, quite
and I
so.
I know we're not supposed to remember anything. But
yes, yes. The point is, however, my friend, is that for many people, they actually have interaction with other people who have had a physical life.
Hmm.
And
yeah.
As a part of the love giving that you will have, that you will bring about in yourself, in your own description of life, to do with when they are having to recount their journey or something like that. That they need help at that time to bring about this edifice of their life. Your love is very important to them, and that will be something that you will take in with you, within yourself. You will remember that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same, my friend, as though you may encounter those on our side of life, perhaps in some communication you receive, when they actually bring about a reunion with beings from their soul group, and that they remember these journeys from before, from
mm-hmm.
previously. The love that they brought about and manifested so selflessly towards someone else at their recounting stage of their journey. And what a bright light they bring about in doing that. You see, all of these memories are very, very helpful to those in the spirit world to actually understand their place and not their caste or what they have been born into, but their place in the fundamental energy of the loving vibration they actually really have accelerated to. Not the one that they, that the physical being created for them in having a physical life, but the being that you are as a spirit being is something which so often in physical states can fail to shine through simply because of the abnormalities, the aggressive behavior or violence that happens in, that can happen in physical state. I'm not saying that it is, this is the blanket rule, but that it appears that violence mainly seems to happen in physical state reality.
Mm. So, if once we're in the spirit world, could we go to the halls of learning to learn about a race and a planet before going on a journey there? I don't mean necessarily to actually have a life there, but maybe then could we be taken on a journey there?
Absolutely. You do not have to be taken on a journey there by accessing the information. And so long as your vibration is of the a will of intent,
mm.
acceptable to that race, you will actually, and acceptable to your spirit, you will actually automatically move there yourself.
Mm.
So, and this, of course, is at the intent of thought. Remembering, dear friends, that thought is a living thing, and that when you bring about thought in the spirit world, it is instantaneous. The reaction is instantaneous. And the deliverance is as well. So you may cross light years of time and space, and distance is not an object, not a barrier to where or who you are. The only thing that is a barrier to who or where you are in the spirit world is yourself and your own activity, your own action of mind, and your own cause célèbre you have brought about in your life journey.
So can you go to another soul group to look at their Akashic Book records?
You may go to their tribal ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
as I say, depicted in the halls of learning. No two halls of learning will necessarily have the same books,
okay.
In which case, as being as they are located in different registry places in different soul groups, it will mean that you will have a great deal of spend a great deal of time traveling from one to another, one to another, different vibration, in order to understand other formats of other human, other races, human and other animal.
I suppose if it was all for research and for the good intent, then that would be a little easier.
Of course, yes, of course.
What about alien races and that? Can we see their Akashic Book records if, obviously, if we have to go to another soul group?
Well, yes, quite so. Now, I understand that some people may have difficulty with this. Perhaps they may say, well, what of these races who cite that they are loving and well-being, that they come with auspicious tendencies, perhaps of positivity and great love and the divining of knowledge and the revealing of great secrets and mystic adventures.
Mm-hmm.
The cauldron of the universe may be said to be at their fingertips, that they bring these advanced technologies and scenarios of advanced understanding never before coerced from any human lip or mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it may be, of course, that these beings on the surface, as we have said before, may depict having this great benevolence to human society, and yet underneath it may have harbored some other disagreeable trait. Perhaps they want to dominate, perhaps they want to use the placidity of certain human beings in order to infiltrate their minds, therefore actually overcoming their vibration with their own intent.
Mm-hmm.
For other situations, for other causes. How did they possibly do that? They did not actually receive the information through the Akashic Book record, either of your planet or of you yourself. Although they must have had something to do with the vibration of intent in which they are, in order to know that it is even possible to do it. I would have to say that it is actually through study of their own Akashic Book records and their own halls of learning in their own species kingdom. And where their vibration comes from may be that they gather information, harvest it in different ways to how we harvest it as spirit beings having had a human experience. Other beings, you see, will harvest their information in different ways, perhaps because they speak in different languages, different telemetries of language have different facets, have different activities attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
If you speak some particular language, it may not be that your language is only from the mouth. It may be that you use physical activity, actions, in order to depict certain elements of that language.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And in just the same way, it may well be that an alien species needs to come and be actually observing in a very close way in order to understand the full these full energies and the way in which you communicate. Yes.
Okay, well, we've nearly gone over time, but a few quick
yes.
ones.
Yes.
What, you know, when you give somebody a reading and you do an Akashic reading,
yes.
Who do you ask about
their doorkeeper,
okay.
actually.
Right.
It is usually to do with the confirmation of the doorkeeper of that person's life. If the person is still having a physical
yes.
life, you are saying,
mm-hmm.
and that they want to have an Akashic reading. The point is they've already given you permission by wanting to seek it in the first place. So
mm-hmm.
it is really a matter of locating the doorkeeper, him or herself, or itself, and actually bringing about that situation. Yes.
Okay. And if you were in the spirit world and you didn't want others to view your Akashic Book records, could you do that or not?
Well, in other words, do you want to keep your foul deeds to yourself?
Well, yeah, or embarrassment.
Embarrassment, yes, I understand.
Could you be choosy about who you want to
see
them or not? Is that
that is really to do with the vibration index that someone is at. Generally, people don't actually bother that much to look at one another's records because they are so busy with their own. They are so complex.
Okay.
And there is so much to maintain and to bring about through actually viewing your own Akashic book. It is something that may take you thousands of years to accomplish.
I'm sure.
And of course, it is never-ending.
Mm-hmm.
Because as your being, as a being in the spirit world, your Akashic book is constantly being written.
Okay.
And there will be more and more volumes upon your shelf of life.
One quick one, very quick one. Has the planet or has planets got an Akashic book record?
They have a histrionic book, which is slightly different. It isn't an Akashic book as such because they do not necessarily bring about conscious memory activity in order to do something specific. They tend to act in retrospection, generally. Reactions happen to do with actions of other bodies upon them. A bit like wanting to scratch an itch or something like that. Or slap a flea or whatever it is, you see.
Okay.
I hope that has helped.
Oh, that's been great. Really wonderful. Thank you very much.
You are most welcome, my dear friends.
Okay.
With love and light to all of you. Be blessed upon your journey, as always. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Good day. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd like to mention our website again. That's www.spirit-teaching.com. You can find out all about us on that website. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.